Welcome to podcast 333 of Five Star Potential, your weekly Football Manager podcast. I'm Dupe, and on this week's pod, I'm joined by Paul, aka Mad FM. We're gonna wave? No? Okay, we normally wave. We normally do waves.
Hi, okay. Over here.
And our very own Luke Littler, David Azza, party! Game on!
Hello.
I love that. Dave got a much better intro than I did. Can we do that again?
Yeah, of course. Welcome to Five Star Potential, your weekly Football Manager podcast. I'm Dave, and on this week's pod, I'm joined by Paul, aka Mad FM.
Wave. Oh, Mad. Hello.
And our very own Luke Littler, David Azza, party! Game on! There you go. Is that what you wanted?
No, that
first one was
work.
Better. We'll go with the first take, Dave. We need to get the apologies out before we go any further. The podcast is a little bit later this week. We have excuses. I'm very good at excuses, so I'll lead the excuses. We had Christmas, obviously. We had New Year. I had to work quite a bit. We meant to record last night, and I got called out. I actually got called out tonight, so we've pushed it all back. So, you know, we got lots of excuses. Also, Dave got grounded. Which is why we've referenced the Luke Littler, because he's shit at darts, but he's 16. that's the reference there. So there you go. We apologise, but we're back to normal now. Apart from Joe, Joe's sick, so we hope he feels better very soon. And we know he's going to listen to this. So yeah, hope you're good, Joe. This week's podcast, we have some winners and losers. We have some save updates, and we have a trip to Serbia for our adventures in Wonderkid Land. So. Let's get cracking. Mr. Mad FM, tell me all about your winner of the week.
Well, I was going to say my winner of the week is, it would have been a good thing that I'm not the host of this pod, Dupe, because there's no way I could have said the podcast number 333.
Do you know what?
In my Irish accent and gotten
I actually struggle with the number three.
Yeah. I wouldn't. You wouldn't have let me live maybe, that one down.
I wouldn't have to say that.
But no, I've put down my winner of the week. I haven't got to play a huge amount of FM, but just going up to Christmas, I was tweaking tactics and I was doing a lot with the inverted fullback. And we'll talk about it in the save updates a bit more. But I've just found that as I got into it to just play with the new role, I really liked it once you've kind of got the right player in there and started to tweak some of the instructions and all of that kind of stuff. And then it got me kind of wanting to recruit for it, even though I didn't really have much cash. So I was doing a little side offline save that I was also messing around with it. But long story short, it led me to write a bit about it and we ended up getting it published onto the Byline. So if you haven't seen it, the Football Manager website.
Hang on, are we still friends with Football Manager?
Just about.
You still like us?
Yeah, but he Andrew likes me, but the rest of it's game over. You know.
You prompt him on the guest that we had lined up? Because he said it's all okay, and we haven't had a date for the guest, so that would be really good. That would be brilliant.
I'll be in touch.
I haven't read it, of course.
Everyone's busy surprised with work. By
not,
that.
Not because of my lack of ability to read; it's because I haven't had the time to read. However, I want to give you my little five piece, and I know this is a bit of a tangent because this is just winners and losers of the week. But I have to say, I absolutely adore this role. Yes. It is slowly but surely, probably, and this is boring for me, probably one of my favourite roles this year. And in recent times, one of my favourite roles is added to the game. I play a flat back four. I play a very attacking wing back on the one side and I play an inverted full back on the other side. And it works beautifully. It just works so good. It works well in the match engine. It works well in logic. And if you have that sort of player. So I was doing it at United and I had Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw was very much slipping in. We've seen in real life that he's actually played a centre back quite a bit. Mm. And he just worked so well. And then we had an injury to him. So I actually played Wan-Bissaka on the right hand side as an inverted fullback. Played Reguilon as the pushing on wing back. And it just worked again very, very well. And having that holding player in front, I was a bit tempted to play a halfback, but I actually played just a DM or a ball winner who starts quite deep, who sits quite deep. And it was effectively a back four, even though, and then just left all the attacking players to go forward. I know, like, you have to kind of give up a bit on that side. You need a very attacking winger if you're going to play that inverted fullback. And I'm sure, like you said, you'll talk about it a bit more, but I had to get my piece in there because I genuinely love that role.
Yeah, because I started testing it because I was doing the article, I was like, right, let's do a test with the most glorified system, which is Pep, and you have like the options of doing it with Gvardiol as the inverted fullback or Kyle Walker. And it, of course it works, but you know, part of you has to realize, yeah, it's Man City and it's probably the best inverted fullback options you can find. So then I went and I actually, because they had that new agreement with that Yokohama Marinos, the Japanese side, they have a affiliation with Football Manager. I actually just I had a look in there, kind of randomly, just open a new save. And it, it kind of worked out well. They had a left, if my memory serves me right, a left-sided fullback who was definitely a bit taller and a bit slower, but had good positional sense and decent defending attributes. And it just so happened then they had a kind of a mix of a wing back who could play as a winger as well, who was like definitely on the shorter side for sure, and was ideal to play in that kind of wing back on attack role. So like as you, so basically I kind of went, God, my memory is terrible for which camera angle I used in FM, but actually kind of expanded it out so I could see the whole pitch and you could see the transitions. You have to be a bit patient, of course, but if you play it regularly enough and do, I know you watch a lot of games in detail and you let's say extended highlights, even comprehensive. We know you've done 90 at times, but you know, why wouldn't
she'd beg to differ, but yes, you're right.
You can see the whole thing shift depending on what's going on, where the, you know, the transitions of play, and just as soon as that right, like in that particular save, or in that particular game, even the games I was doing, as soon as that right winger was bombing on, the whole thing shifted across, and if we turned over the ball and the other side was coming at us, we had a back three just instantly there, and it just flowed nicely. It looked like it did what it meant to do, which you don't always get to say when in FM.
What one thing I'll also say as well is, again, I'll touch a bit on it with my save update, but it's amazing to see that it works at different levels of the footballing pyramid. It's quite a straightforward role. It's not too complicated, and it's a role that for me you can play in India successfully, like I did. You know, I'm playing a diamond at the moment. I've gone back to a diamond that I played very similar to when I was at Forest Green back in 2017. It's a system I love, and you have that DM in front of that back four, and that inverted fullback just cuts in. And like I said, I'm playing in India, where I've got not great talent yet, just the basics. You know, it's very difficult to find wing backs and full backs. We know that. We've always talked about the new gens are coming through. They're never very good. But you never get a world class one. I mean, half the time you get Dave, and I mean, he's not that good, is he, Dave? And it's really nice to see. You know, you can play Mazzalas at these sorts of levels. You can play pressing forwards. You can play these sorts of technical roles that these lower league players just can't play very well. Inverted fullback is one that can play all the way through. So it is a very nice role. So it's a very good winner of the week, man.
Yeah, I think so. Dave, you mentioned it before with slightly lower, like especially, you know, you're in the Pentagon. Just you're never going to get great attributes on a lot of these players, but it's one or two kind of core attributes. So like the inverted fullback, positioning is obviously a big thing there. Maybe a bit of tackling and decisions. That wing back then just needs a bit of pace. It'll work. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, give it a look. It's on the byline and we'll put a link. Hopefully Duke will put a link in the description. If he's feeling
We'll probably put a link in the description this week.
He doesn't get to work.
we're recording this and it's going out in 8 hours' time, so we have to get it up and in. Okay. So it'll probably go in because we won't forget it. I actually think probably give it a little bit of time. We'll probably do a whole pod on this new role because there's a lot to talk about with this one and we've only scratched the surface with that. But in the meantime, go and read that on the byline. And awesome to Mad for actually writing something for that, so fair play to you, mate. Well done. David, come on. Spill the beans. I don't know. Have you got any gossip? Who's your win of the week?
I think people probably get bored of me saying it, but I think it's going to be Wolves again. We actually, I saw today the form table for the festive period. So the last four fixtures had come out, and Wolves are second. Only second to West Ham, actually, who are atop because they beat us, obviously, which we were all there for. But
why
couldn't
they do that when we were there? They've been unbelievable since.
Mate,
they've
actually been very good since. So, I mean, beat Chelsea at home, smashed Brentford, which I really didn't expect. And then obviously smashed Everton as well. So, you know, really good. I was away, obviously, last weekend, so I was grounded. But, but I actually drove back for the Wolves game against Everton, then drove back to where I was away. So it was definitely worth going for. But, really good. Made me pretty happy over the Christmas period.
If you supported your local team, you wouldn't have to drive so far. Yeah. I can't really argue with that. I'll be honest, I can't really argue with that at all.
It's good timing as well, because they're about to get Pedro Neto back as well, Dave, right? He's been on the bench.
Yeah, he came off the bench against Everton, and he looked like he'd never left, really. He was really, really sharp. Sure. So I was saying before the podcast, obviously this could age very badly, but we linked with Noah Lamina, who's the brother of Mario Lamina, and he's quite a really talented young player on Football Manager. So quite excited if we do get him to see how he can, he'll look on future FMs as well.
Can I also just add that, it's not irrelevant, because we talked about the fact that we were all at that previous game, the West Ham versus Wolves game. We were all in the Wolves end. Ever since then, I've wanted West Ham to lose just because of that one guy. Then obviously we lost to them, and there's a clip on Twitter of that guy.
Comment. He must do it every game, isn't it?
Yeah, fair. I mean, he's had a lot to laugh about recently. Let's put it that way.
Chief.
Okay, so on to my winner of the week, and I'm going to do something, honestly, without sounding too depressed or upset, that I've never done before. I don't really have a winner of the week, I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, I've just been working a lot. I tell you what, fuck it. Just booked a holiday.
That's a winner.
I'm going to Kenya for a wedding in November. We've just booked it. So there you go. There's my winner of the week, which is nothing Football Manager related. Maybe we can link it to Dave's Pentagon saying they need to be put more leagues in Africa. And so I'm actually going out. There you go. Rumours. I'm going out for FM26 to do some scouting in Kenya. There you go.
I'm sure there'll be a huge demand for the Kenyan Premier Division on Football Manager.
Hey, you never know. You never know. Right, let's go on to losers. Mad, apart from you, Mike, who is the loser of the week? An inside joke.
Let's park the microphone discussions for another day. I originally have written down here that Ike, my team in Sweden, are the losers of the week because I haven't played the save properly since before
Christmas.
How's
that their
fault? But it's not really their fault.
No, you can't blame them for that.
But I can't blame me. Can I not blame Christmas? I don't know. But probably, you know, if Dave is saying the Wolves are the winners of the week, then Newcastle are definitely losers of the week because we're in a terrible run and we've slipped down to ninth. And yeah, the entire fan base is having an absolute freak out. A little bit over-exaggerated, in my opinion. You know, it's been a horrendous fixture schedule. So I'm looking forward to just kind of having one game a week, having a week between games, because we had 10 games in 30 days, and that's an awful lot of games for a club to play.
It is, mate. It is. Dave, we'll swiftly move on to yours. Who's your loser of the week?
Well, it'll obviously tie into my save update, but I lost my star striker on the Pentagon Challenge. Young 17-year-old lad that I've been speaking about over the last couple of podcasts. We're coping, which obviously I'll get into, but yeah, big loss because he felt like he was sort of the star of the save so far.
Oh, what a shame.
Well, did you get like cash for him? A big bid?
Can we save that for the update, maybe?
Yeah, decent bid. I'll give you a big update, though. Yeah,
awesome.
Bosh.
Well, Mad's gone Newcastle. I'm going to go one place, and that is the referees in football, VAR, the Liverpool-Newcastle game. I'll be honest, I switched off because it was just ropey. I don't think either one was a penalty, in my opinion. The second penalty, I cannot get my head around how a player can take a couple of steps, not take a shot on goal, but actually just fall over. Like, he had an open goal, he could have just easily scored. This is the problem.
But he decided. He decided to go down. He didn't just kind of like this. He was like, no, I'll go down instead.
I hate to be honest. I hate to tell you this, but this is the dupe effect. Jurgen Klopp, in Jota's contract, has gone to him, actually, mate, I want you to play out wide, so I want you to have a higher assist bonus than you'd have a goal bonus. So he's gone round the keeper and he's gone, if I go down, I get 20 grand more. So he went down. There you go, the dupe effect. Okay.
Well, we said that, didn't we? Or else he has Salah as triple captain.
Yeah, triple captain Salah after that penalty miss. Crikey. Not Liverpool's fault, obviously, but more of a referee standards are just shocking. And I'll be honest, in the Nottingham Forest Man United game as well, that ref was shite. And I'm not saying shite to us, but shite to both teams. And the decisions, like, he was giving goal kicks when they were definitely corners. He was giving corners when they were clearly, you can see it on the telly. and we're miles away from it, and it's so easy and clear to see. Like, honestly, we're meant to be the best league in the world. I mean, I reckon Dave could ref better than this.
Hey.
Well, that's saying a lot, isn't it? But here's the one thing. Obviously, I was a Newcastle fan in this instance, but Jota's goes down very, very late, very delayed kind of tumble down, right? You can see exactly what's happened. He's decided to go down. Anthony Taylor hesitated for a substantial amount of time. Maybe it's a second or half second, but it's long enough for you to notice it. And then he gives it, and then he books him. But by doing that, it does shift the scale, because if he's not given a penalty, and it was a clear penalty, VAR are going to go, no, mate, you should have given that as a penalty, and they can overturn that.
Yes.
But when he's given it, then it removes the ability to hold this whole clear and obvious error. You know, we can't say it was right or wrong, but you've given it, so we can't overturn it.
The
overturning part is bothering me.
The problem is, though, Madge, what you can't get into the realms of is referees just running around, not giving anything, because then VAR will come back. If they want it to be refereed by robots, then take the referee out. Take the referee out of the game. But it's pointless.
The rules are conflicting with it a lot, with this whole overturning kind of nonsense. But I see your point, because like we saw it in the Carabao when there was no VAR.
Yeah.
There was a lot more shit being let go.
Yeah, exactly that.
Because the refs weren't blowing the whistle. Anyway.
Exactly.
Right. Definitely.
Let's go to some Football Manager, seeing as we are... Actually, I don't know how long we're into this, but we're into this. So let's go to some Football Manager. And we might as well start with that penalty that we discussed earlier and have a little chat with David about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've played quite a little bit of Football Manager. I think since the last pod, I've done probably just under a year's worth of games, I think. Because I remember I was sort of just about to start the second half of the season, if I remember correctly, in season three. I had a really, really strong end to season three. Changed my system because the system I was using at the time just wasn't... It was getting results, but it just wasn't that convincing. So I switched to basically a flat 4-4-2, and wow, the difference it's made is fantastic. And we're sort of mid-table at this stage last season, and changed to the 4-4-2, had a fantastic run, ended up finishing third, still a little bit way off the top two. Frustratingly, the top two of the positions in the league that will get you continental qualification. But thankfully, I won the South African sort of FA Cup equivalent, which gave me qualification to the African Confederation Cup, which is like the equivalent to the Europa League. So we went into this season, obviously qualified for the Confederation Cup on really, really good form and momentum. But the issue is at the moment with SuperSport, who I'm with, are a pretty reputable team. They're a good team. But a lot of players, if they're my top players, the likelihood of them signing new contracts at the moment is very unlikely, because I think they basically outgrow in the club. So I've had to be very careful, or if I know there's a player with 6 to 12 months left on the deal and they don't want to sign, I've had to cash in on them. There was a really good young centre-half I had. I managed to cash in. I think his release clause was just under 400k, and I cashed in on him. And the difference is, you know, he was on about 2k a week for me. He went to Saudi Arabia and he's on just under 30k. So that's the sort of thing I'm competing with, really. And I think I probably do need to be a bit stricter in regards to, I'm seeing big bids coming for my players, and straight away I'm like, oh yeah, go on then. But I think I could, you know, dig my heels in a little bit more. Like I alluded to earlier, the young lad, I still can't pronounce his first name, but Peters, I think it's Sifiwi or Sifiwi Peters. Young lad.
Sifiwi.
Sifiwi, yeah. Sifiwi, yeah.
But it sounds like something else.
If you want some help, just let me know, Dave.
Yeah, so, I mean, he joined, well, when I joined, he was 16. I put him into the first team, really, really good. Obviously, 17 years of age. He was rotated a lot more last season, but still scored a lot of goals. And then all of a sudden, I had Udinese, somebody else had come in for him, and then Genoa. And we sold him for about 450k, which is a lot of money, like a lot of money for a South African team. Bearing in mind, when I joined this team at the end of season one, they were like, we're in the red financially. As I speak now, we've got close to £5 million in the bank overall now, which is, you know, amazing, because of competition wins and so on. So he went a little bit disappointed, frustrated, because that striker I had from Uzbekistan as well last season, he left on a free. So it's been quite a bit of a rebuild, and I think it's going to have to be that every season. But season four is going really well. I sent a screenshot of my form a couple of times yesterday in our Discord because my form in the league is phenomenal, like really, really good, scoring loads of goals, winning lots of football matches. But at the moment, the only teams I'm dropping points against are the teams that are slightly above me, so they've got the edge on me. So at the moment, I'm 19 games into the season on 43 points. But still, I've got a couple of games in hand over two teams above me, but still Orlando Pirates are top, 7 points ahead of me. I think it's Mamelodi Sundowns, a really good team. They're 5 points ahead of me as well on the same amount of points. So it's tight, and I really need to almost replicate my first half of the season form to even have a chance of winning the title, I think. But it's going well because this season I'm in five different competitions. Obviously the league, the South African sort of FA Cup, the League Cup, the Confederation Cup, and then they do like a little bit like the Community Shield, but there's about four or five, I think there's four or six teams in it or something like that. I think it's eight teams actually. It's called the MTN8, so yeah, it'll be eight teams. So that's right at the start of the season. I won that. Got a bit of money for that. Won the League Cup, so got a bit of money for that. So we're still fighting on all fronts at the moment. And sort of, I was speaking with Joe in Discord yesterday. I said, if I do qualify for the Champions League this year, which I'm confident that I should do, I think I'm just going to go all out in the transfer window. Obviously, I've been quite savvy with money and trying to look after, you know, certain wages and players. But I think I've just got to go all out and say, right, build the strongest team that I can. Not really bothered if I put Supersport in the mud a little bit financially and just see what I can do, because I think system wise it's really a really, really good system. And in terms of depth this year, I've got the best depth that I've had, I think. Looking at South America a little bit more, we've got some good, you know, Brazilian players. There was a guy that when I joined Vendor right at the start of the save, he played for a team in the Championship or the first division in South Africa and scored 43 goals. And he's just one of those players that I always, like, if he comes up on the save, I'm like, flipping heck, I remember him. He was a bagsman because he moved up to the Premier League and scored another 21 goals. I needed a backup striker and I saw he was available for about 7K in the transfer window. I thought, you know what, as a third choice, I'll play him. But at the moment, he's banging goals. He's got 18 goals for me in all competitions. That's halfway through the season. It's good. I'm really enjoying it at the minute. I'm getting loads of games played. I'm just about to start this sort of winter break, which can be a bit tedious at times, but it'll give me a chance to try and tidy up my squad a little bit. You only get five foreign players in the South African League as well, so I've got to be a bit savvier with that, I think, in the next season, because I've got, I think, two of my foreign players are just reserve players or backup players, so I want my foreign players to be some of my best players. But financially, in terms of results, it's going really well at the moment, and I'm hoping it's just a matter of time now before we win that first Champions League.
Very, very exciting, David. Actually, you know what? It's naughty, isn't it? These penalties just bring up these lovely narratives that you're touching upon people that you used to play with and stuff. It is cool. I'm excited for you, mate.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it at the minute. I've got some really good young players coming through. So I think that's it. It's like almost trying at times taking a punt on one or two of them, trying to get bed them into your squad. But yeah, it's really fun at the minute.
And Dave, like, you've got these kind of quite decent players. You mentioned Mr. Peters. I think you said it was Udinese or Genoa or
whatever. Genoa, yeah, he went to in the end. Yeah.
Because, like, I know in my save, it's interesting because they're the similar types of teams that seem to be scouting up in Sweden as well. Genoa, Udinese, Atalanta even popping around there as well. Torino and those kind of teams. But when you see that WNT icon pop up, are you like, oh, shit? Or are you like, cha-ching, cash monies, Champions League?
A little bit of both, really. It depends. I mean, some of these players are good. Like Peters is very good, and I showed you his attributes a number of times, and I'm looking at them now on my screen. You know, he's just turned 18, and you know, he's got 15 dribbling, 15.
We might have it on the screen on the YouTube podcast.
Yeah, good shout there. There you go. If I remember to do that, yeah. The annoying thing was with him as well, he kept coming up on my scout he'd recommended even after he'd left. And I thought, obviously, with him being South African, I looked and they would let him leave on loan with, as long as I covered his wage, which is like about $4,000, which is towards my highest earner, but easily affordable, and nothing else being paid. I thought, oh my God, if I can bring him back, that'd be amazing. They accepted, and then he rejected coming back. So nice. He's loan listed now. So I'll be intrigued when I go into January. Maybe the next pod I'll give an update. I'll be interested to see if he, you know, is, you know, would come. But I mean, looking at his stats on screen now, his career stats in the league, he had a goal every other game for me in the league. And, you know, add cup games to it, you know, he would have been deadly. So definitely interested in seeing if I can bring him back. But yeah, I think it's a bit of both. You know, some of my best players, I mean, just quickly looking at my team now, there's no one wanted as such at the moment. But the good thing is with the quality of the academy they've got here, if, you know, if there's a player that's going to leave, I can easily replace him for either really cheap from another team in South Africa or just go to my academy and get someone, you know, to basically improve that area of the team. So, it's going well. But I think next year, I think financially, I could put the team in a bit of a difficult position because I just want to spend to create the strongest squad possible to win the Champions League.
To
do it.
So if you had to say out of the league, where should you be finishing? Like what sort of squad you've got now? Is it, are you the third best team in South Africa or are you, you know...
I don't know.
Are you batting above your station a bit?
I think on paper, I'm not the best team. And I think if you compare like contract-wise, I mean, so at the moment, my highest earner is $5,000 and that's a lad that's in on loan. I'm paying 100% of his wage. Other than that, it's £4,300. You go to the Sundowns, so I would say on paper, the best team in the league. They've got three players on $7,500 plus already. If I go to Orlando Pirates as well, they've got... Again, same sort of thing. They've got players just under, you know, $10,000. So in terms of wage, they've got a lot of players that are almost on double the wage of, you know, some of my teams, my players, sorry. I mean, look at the season preview. We were predicted to finish fourth. So we're about where we should be because I've been fourth for a number of weeks in the league. But I think in terms of the system and our momentum and form and our goal difference, I mean, halfway point of the season, my goal difference is plus 38. The next best is plus 25. So in terms of scoring goals, it's great, but we're just leaking too many goals. Or there's certain games against smaller teams where we're battering them and we get FM'd and like lose 1-0 or 2-1 or even, you know, draws and I'm dropping 2 points. So it's just to try and like iron out those issues really second half of the season. But it's hard because with the Confederation Cup as well, in that League Cup I mentioned last night as well, we had a game in the League Cup. You played the semi-final. If you win, you got your final 3 days later. So the amount of games I had in December and then you're picking up injuries and look, these aren't elite footballers. They're physically not Premier League footballers, so it's hard for them to play that amount of games. So it's quite testing at times. You've got to, you know, mix things up and, you know, to try and train them and in certain ways or rest them at the right time. So we've got this winter breakdown, so I'm hoping try and get the squad back fully fit for, you know, knuckle down to try and push for the league second half of the season.
Dave, just to get into your head there,
I wouldn't go there.
The guy who's the real life manager of the Mamelodi Sundowns, I think I mentioned it before, randomly retweeted one of my blog post tweets before Christmas in maybe November. So it's not out of the question that he's listening and he's enjoying listening to your struggles, Dave. So as you say yourself, head's gone.
Yeah, I mean, I've very quickly, like, just randomly, I've looked at my fixture list as well. I've got Mamelodi Sundowns on the last game of the season as well. So that that could genuinely be like, you know, a title decider. But yeah, I mean, even the group stage of the Confederation Cup, though, the last three games are in February. After that, I've only got five league games and the group stage finishes and I've only got five league games left. So I think the March, April, May are just going to be full of, you know, matches. I'm just looking at my February now. I'm going to have nine games in Feb. And that's like, you know, two to three matches a week. Yes, so yeah, I'm going to have to really, you know, well, I'm saying that at the moment, it's saying I've got a league game on the exact same day as a cup game.
Right.
So I'm hoping that gets changed soon.
Either that or the Sports Interactive, we're going to have a forum post posted very soon. So you got, you say you got Sundowns on the last day.
Yeah.
So they could really bring the sun down on your title hopes.
Okay, move on. Yeah, move on.
Oh, we're going to move on. Yeah. We're not going to go far. We are going to head over to India. And I want to explain what's been happening over there because India, I don't even think we've mentioned this on the pod before. Have we? Have we spoke about it? I don't think we have.
Not to my recollection, anyway.
I don't think we have. So people were thinking, like, what's happening with Deportivo? Deportivo is there. Don't panic. I'm actually back live on Monday, which is when the next pod will come out. I've just been working's mental with work, and as you can tell, we've stopped mid pod because I got a work phone call, so it's been crazy. So I haven't really been streaming because I can't commit. So I'm back streaming next week with Deportivo in the third division of Spain. So I needed something to play, and I want something to play offline because when I get the itch, I want to play. I just want to play all the time. So I've been listening to Dave, and I was tempted to do an online Pentagon, and I bottled it. So I've decided to do an offline Pentagon. A bit like Dave has, really, because he's not streaming anymore. Are you, Dave? Let's be honest. No. So I loaded all the save up. I loaded everything I could do. And we went around and we were trying to find a few things that we could do and a few places we can go. And we started off finding a job in China, or League One of China, where we managed to get a job at Longding, which is just a great name. It's just a great name. We were only there for about 4 or 5 months. Our target was just to keep us up. That was the problem, was to keep that Longding up and not get relegated. And I managed to do that. But half the squad, maybe 90% of the squad were leaving at the end of the summer. So I decided to jump ship, go and try. I was never going to build an empire there. So I jumped ship and decided to head over to India. Now, I managed in India on my last one. So we're doing a very similar journey to how I went. I started in China, then I went over to India, and I managed Kerala that time. Mm. However, this time, Kerala offered me an interview and then a job, and then Kashi and offered me the exact same. Kashi are a brand new team. They were founded in 2023. In the Indian leagues, you are exempt from relegation for the first 3 years. I don't know if you knew this.
What?
So you can't get relegated, right? So we are exempt from relegation. So I was like, so the pressure's off. Let's get in. They just wanted us not to get relegated. I was like, hang on, I'm going to win here, aren't I? Brought them in, and they had some good little players, to be fair. They had a Spanish lad in the middle called Julian Perez, who was just a very good Mazala. And I know we spoke about playing Mazala in lower leagues, but he was very good Mazala. He couldn't dribble, but everything else he could do perfectly. And we had a chap named Barco up top. Not the Barco that we all know. Mario Barco, another Spanish lad. And he actually is just a goal machine. He's got 10 finishing, 10 composure, 10 acceleration, and 9 pace, which doesn't sound that good. But in India, that's fucking quick. We set up as a diamond. We were playing the inverted wing back on the left, and things were just ticking along lovely. And I remember just being in the Discord, chatting to Joe, chatting to Dave. I think even Mad popped in a few times, just playing this save, just ticking and way through, watching the football, watching the NFL, late nights, all this stuff. And before you know it, I got to the end of the season. And I'd only lost one game all season with this team. We brought some more players in the winter, some foreign players. You're only allowed 3 foreign players in your match day squad. Also, your match day 11, that was it. But you can have up to 6 in your match day squad. And obviously, all the good players were foreign, and it was difficult to kind of work around. We had 2 wonder kids. When I say wonder kids, I mean wonder kids for their league. I've got a 17-year-old left back called Tame Singh, who is a model citizen, great determination. He's an amazing player, and he's 17. So that was like the easiest position to fill because he was quality. I had a DM called Rodriguez, who is just another Indian chap, incredible player for that level, and he was 16. And then I had a guy called Alan James, which is also Indian, and he played in midfield. Again, very, very good. So we had a good basis of Indian players. We had a very good basis of foreign players. We had a really good recipe for success, which we went on and did. We actually won the league. 24 games, there's only 13 teams in this league. We won 18 of them. We drew 5 of them and we lost 1 of them. We only conceded 25 goals all season. We scored 68, so top of both of that. And we actually won the league by 8 points, which is awesome. After the league finishes, they then decide to put you into a cup. So it's the top 8 teams, Dave. I think it's called the Confederation 8. I think it's 8 teams. I'm not too sure. and again, we went unbeaten through that and we won the Confederation Cup as well. So very much incredible. The time that we were there, we lost our first game against a team called CB in the Durand Cup, which is like a pre-cup. And then we lost in the final of the Durand Cup against Delhi FC, We lost against Mumbai in the league in January. Apart from that, my whole time in India, we didn't lose another game. So impressive. Very, very impressive. We beat second in the league 6-0, third in the league 7-0. So we did really well. Barco then decided he wanted to leave. We had the two Wonder Kids decide they want to leave. And again, very similar story to China. I didn't have that squad for the next game, for the next season. And to be fair, like you don't get into Europe in that Indian league. It's not the top league in India, but it's a top league of India that you can play in FM. They do have another league in India that it isn't a playable save, which is called the Hero Indian Super League. It's just not a league you can touch. And obviously that would then give you the path to Europe. So I just thought, you know what? It's time to go. I've built a little bit of a reputation up. They wouldn't then go and pay for my
badges.
Yeah. So I decided time to leave. So I went unemployed. I resigned and I couldn't find a job. I just couldn't find a job. Everywhere we'd get to like the final stages, we were offered an interview at Guangzhou, which is the team that had Oscar, or they might have had Fellaini.
Guangzhou Evergrande.
They
were the top team, weren't they? You know, they were like at the time, they were the top boys, and they've come into a lot of financial issues. We got an interview, didn't get the job. We got off. We had a conversation with a team in South Korea, and again we got to the final. You're just not the right person. Went to China again into the first division, and a team popped up that we were very friendly with, which was Dong Yu. I don't know if you can remember Dong Yu, which is a team that I actually managed previously in the last FM save I did with a Pentagon, and they've offered me the job, and I've actually accepted it. So I'm now the new manager. We're fourth in the League One at the moment after 16 games, and Guangzhou are actually right behind me in fifth, on an almost identical record. They've just scored four more goals than us. Apart from that, we are perfectly the same. So we have got a building block there. We are only 5 points away from promotion. We've got 16 teams in the league. So there is a chance that we can get promoted into that top division and then start trying to make a name for ourselves, because the problem with Asia, Dave will tell you, it's not as easy as it used to be to win that Champions League. Now Saudi's there. China's top division is probably up there. Korea's probably up there. And Japan now, that's probably one of the three that you need to be in. So yeah, we're going to start building and seeing what we can do. But yeah, we're in China. I'm really enjoying it. I've been a bit good. I haven't been able to play it the last few days, but I'm hoping to have a good session tomorrow. And I'm hoping I've took all the screenshots so that I will do a thread update whilst I'm at work and getting paid for it tomorrow. So that should be out sometime tomorrow as well. So if you want to see any of it in a bit more detail, you can do. But yeah, that's me. That's my Penty. And we're back with Deportivo next week.
Up the Penty. I think I need to do a blog about the Penty, and I might ask you for some inputs into it, because
yeah, I mean we've both done them recently. Some cheated, some didn't.
Allegedly,
likes this.
Allegedly. But no, I think they are cool. I still, I am going to propose it to Dave that if he's in his gaff next year, that we do a network penny.
Network.
I think that is just insane the membrane.
That'd be unbelievable, to be fair.
It would be class, right? Because we could be in a network now, you being in South Africa, me being in Asia, we wouldn't be crossing paths just yet. The issue is if the leagues don't sync. So if our off period is August to December, and that's your game period, it would make it a long time. But
Ourselves a rule, maybe trying to get to the same nation at the same time and stuff.
If we had the 5 second processing, mate, it will fly through.
Yeah,
it would fly through.
That'd be sick, to be fair.
But that is kind of maybe the thing that I can try and get Dave in on next year, but we'll see. But yeah, up the penny, mate. It's awesome. You know, I'm managing in India, and I'm celebrating doing knee slides about Indian football, which I never thought I'd do. Again, I've actually just clicked on Mighty Lions, which is the team that I took to the Champions League final and lost twice last time I did one. They're on rough times at the moment. But I think I want to head to Japan. I think that's gonna be my Asian.
I'm gonna try and do Japan as well.
Area, yeah, just because it's new, isn't
Especially
it?
Especially this year.
But we are trying to fight against. Obviously, we've got Qatar, we've got Saudi, and the UAE league as well. Actually, on the competition reputation, they're the three that are above Japan, China, and then Korea. So, yeah, it's gonna be tough. It's kind of like looking at a winner from maybe the Italian league or maybe the French league winning the Champions League. So it's not going to be easy if we're trying to make it that sort of, I think they're fourth and fifth, aren't they, in the coefficients or competition. Mm. So yeah, it's going to be tough, but if it was easy, Dave wouldn't have to cheat. So it's funny enough, actually, right? All joking aside, I'm only taking the piss, but like, I've not actually seen any of the South African jobs become available. And I'm actually concerned that have I clicked on.
You can always add it though, if you've not had.
Yeah, I might need to get that added soon. Because I don't think I've got the African League on. Which is annoying, because it is only one league.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't have it on. Well, so I should probably add that. But yeah, there we go.
Get it done, son.
Right, Matt, you've referenced it not that long ago. The fact you haven't played much in Sweden, but you have got a little side save. You want to kind of dabble in slightly because we're running out of time. But yeah, tell us all about it. That was my prompt to say, make it quick.
Majorly quick.
It's fucking 12 o'clock, make it quick.
Yeah, similar story to you, but thankfully I wasn't working too much, but I was at home in my kind of folks' house a lot over Christmas. So like when I want to play FM, and usually if I'm playing like a save like the Ike one I have now, I usually have to be like, know that I have 3 or 4 hours of uninterrupted gameplay ahead of me to really get into it. And obviously with Christmas and everything, that wasn't really happening. So I wanted something to be able to just put down and pick back up again, and something that didn't require a whole lot of thought, just something normal, standard. At one point over Christmas, I randomly stumbled across some clips of a guy who used to play in the Premier League called Michu. You may remember playing for Swansea. Yeah, boy. Who had one absolute bagsman of a season, largely, I guess, playing as a mix of a 10 and I guess as a striker as well for Swansea, and he was just scoring ridiculous goals that season. So I just looked up and saw Swansea weren't doing great IRL and went, right, I'll just give it a bit of a crack at Swansea, and just wanted to do a tactic that I haven't done or I don't normally do. So I was like, you know what, I'll try and build it around a number 10, and I just decided to go out and try and find a good value, kind of low reputation number 10 to come and slot in. And I kind of ended up in familiar territory because there was a Swedish player that I failed to sign for Ike. His name is Sebastian Nanasi. He's actually getting a bit of hype in real life, and he ended up moving to, it was either Fiorentina or Napoli in my Ike save. So he's at Malmo, I think, when you start off. So I went straight in for him. Got him in for, I want to say it was the bones of about 2 million, which pretty much ate up our budget. Also bought in a right back, an Irish one, Sam Curtis, who's very highly rated, still playing in the Irish league at the moment. And I've played 4 or 5 games. We won 2, lost 2. But it's just like you said, Dupe, just a save to pick up and put down. And I think sometimes people struggle having multiple saves, but if you know what you're doing, if you know why you're doing it, a save like that is just, you can pick it up, put it back down, not think about it too much. And it, you know, I haven't put too much into it to make me kind of pine for it. I'm really looking forward to now going back and playing some proper Ike and getting back into the save and writing a blog post. So that's the plan. That's where we are.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I think if people don't realise that don't make content or haven't streamed or anything like that, I don't like playing my save offline. Like, I like to kind of show my whole journey through that save and make that save that everyone that can see it, that wants to see it, can see it. And that for me is big, and I don't. And the problem is sometimes I can only stream 2 hours a day, on some days.
And but you could play FM for 6 hours.
But I can play FM for 6 hours. I might have the kids in here. I might, you know, want to watch the football more closely and stuff. And I need something to tick along in the background. I mean, my FM save at the moment. So just on the side note, whilst I look for this, Dave, I've just looked at South Africa. In 2023, 2024, you'll never guess who won South African the African Champions League, mate.
Supersport.
I guess. Supersport, yeah. Who won it this year in 2025?
Don't say Supersport then.
Sundowns. So, you know, close. But yeah, it shows that you've obviously failed. I've played this current for 1 day, 9 hours and 9 minutes. You know, I had to fill that with something, and that's how I felt it. But yeah, it's difficult to explain. I'm never normally a too safe person, but I am when I make content and stuff, because I don't like to not play stuff offline.
You can tell I've obviously played this on my laptop or left my laptop on with the game on, because I've played, my game time is 12 days, 6 hours, 45 minutes apparently.
Yeah, so that means I've got 10 days to try and win a Champions League before Dave does of in-game time, and I'll be winning.
No, it doesn't count, mate.
Tune in next week, it'll be done.
It'll be done. But yeah,
it might actually be done next pod though. Mine.
Yeah? Yeah. I mean,
I don't want to set myself too many timelines. I failed last time.
Well, you said Christmas, then you said New Year's. But you did forget you got grounded halfway through that.
Say again.
No, just sometime in 2024.
You just said 2024, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, brilliant. Obviously, we can't hear about Famalicão because Joe is sick. But I can tell you this, and Dave is my witness, Corey's cracking on with it, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing better in this world than a Football Manager version of the game with Friday Night FM fucking loving it, because he just goes full hog. And some of the Twitter stuff, go follow him on Twitter. You might be able to get a bit of an update. Hopefully he'll be on next week and you can get a bit of an update. But he's been raising all of his funds to then now start with a second team so he can start. He fucking plays the game brilliantly. So yeah,
he's having a good time.
Hopefully he'll be back next week and you can hear some more about that. However, before that, we're going to head over to Serbia and take a look at 17-year-old forward who is having his breakout season at Red Star Belgrade. Since breaking into the first team, Jovan Mitrovic. It's been a while since we actually agreed what the pronunciation is. Mitrovic. That'll do.
I still got it wrong twice. It's Mijatovic, but anyway.
Mijatovic. Sorry.
He's even written it phonetically.
Yeah, I've tried to read it. We had to wait for... Pete behind the curtains. Me and Damon sat here for 4.5 hours while Matt tried to sort his audio out. So, you know. anyway, Jovan has actually racked up 8 goals and 2 assists in just 14 league games and 631 minutes of football, helping his side occupy second place. And at the time of recording, just a point behind rivals Partizan. So what are we saying, lads? Is this kid a wonder one or not a wonder kid? A wonder one? A wonder kid. I know what I'm trying to say. Yay or nay? Is the question.
I would say real life stats, like 8 goals for a 17-year-old, like you could say it's the Serbian league, but it's Red Star Belgrade and they're also in the Champions, they were in the Champions League.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pronounce how they call themselves normally, Cervenia.
Yeah, it's not easy, is it? And you wrote it phonetically. Let me just break down those statistics, Matt, in the Superliga. In Serbia, don't forget, he has played 14 games, 635 minutes, 8 goals, 2 assists, 5.7 XG, 0.99 XA. Dave, do you want to?
Expected assists, yeah.
Perfect. 22% conversion rate, and he's directly involved in a goal every 64 minutes of football. He looks evil.
We also need to shout out F Talent Scout for this one and some of the tweets there, because they're great figures to be collated, and it just really helps you get a glimpse at what is potentially a real life wonder kid. And then we like to compare it to the attributes in FM and see, is it matching up? That is the question though, isn't it, Dupe?
Yeah, I think for me, I play him as high up as the pitch as I can. Let's get him right as, like, he is his preferred attribute. His preferred role is an advanced forward, and I think that's what he's perfectly suited for. There's a couple of mentals, which I always find mentals are quite difficult to get positive input into, if you know what I mean. You can work on technicals very easily and physicals, but and that anticipation is a little bit low for me in the off the ball for a striker, but he is very young. He has got good determination of 11. Obviously, we don't know whether that is variable. And he looks like a guy... That set, is it? 11?
Yeah.
Okay. So he looks like a sort of guy that could hunt you and kill you down. So I'm going to say he's... Hunt you down and kill you. So I'm going to say he's a very good... He looks like a young Mitrovic, doesn't he? If I had to line him up in a game where we're picking the nations of the world and I said, this is a guy, you would pick Serbia straight away, wouldn't you? He is Serbian out and out. He's even got Dave has a party eyebrow slit. He looks like he could be related to you a bit, Dave, actually.
What? Where have I ever had an eyebrow slit?
You've had an eyebrow slit.
Never.
You've got one now.
You will after the next meetup.
No, that's like a scar.
Oh, is it? Oh, I'm sorry to bring that up. Let's move on swiftly. His pros, he is a good all-round attribute player, and he's in double figures for a lot of them for a 17-year-old. He's both-footed, and also he is very, very cheap. And cons kind of lead into what I was saying about the mentals, very lowish determination, and his off the ball is only 9. And as an advanced forward and a striker, that movement needs to be key, doesn't it? So hopefully, bit of training, you can get him up, getting him into a good team, you can get him up. But I think I'd like to know how much you could get him up for. It says his value is 2.1 to 4.1, and I can tell that Mads given this this screenshot because it's in fucking euros.
Yeah. It is. As is the save I was doing. The one thing I'll say about this, and obviously we'll have hopefully had it on screen if you're looking at it on YouTube, but for anyone who's not on YouTube or not looking at it on screen, this is one of those players where you open the profile and nothing jumps out because nothing is really over, like, I think 13 or 14, maybe 13 is even the highest. But there's a lot of that number, or particularly 12. And it's, you know, you've got pace 12, you know, the acceleration is 11, the strength is 12. But then you're like, aerially, the heading is 10, the jumping reach is 12. Technical-wise, his technique is 13, passing 10, first touch 10, finishing, dribbling 12. They all sound a bit average until you really realize he's 17.
I think
they could if you really look, jump up quickly.
He can't jump up that much because his aerial reach isn't great. his that trifactor of technique of 13, finishing at 12, composure of 12, that's quality for a striker. If you want to dive deep,
17, yeah,
and he's 17. If those three attributes, that is a great building block. Yes, his physicals are all above 10. They're all above 11, I should say. Again, great building block for that striker. For me, lets me down on the mentals. And that off the ball, to get in behind the defenders and get into with that low work rate, it does concern me a little bit. But I think he's very good. And I'd like to see what he is in a few years' time.
I'm not 100% against him being as like an inside forward either, though. I think he's definitely better suited as a like an advanced forward and as a number 9. But like on the ball, he's good. Like 12 dribbling's okay as well. Long shots is pretty decent, you know. And with his technique, like you said, I said, definitely better as a striker. But I think, you know, he's comfortable on either side, either wing as well. Left-footed player, so as a, you know, right winger as an inside forward. Could be an option as well, but I like him. I think in terms of budget options, I've not seen him pop up on my saves yet, but in terms of budget options, I think he'd be a really decent striker, like Premier League level. If you want to bring him in as a backup to start off with, could definitely be turn out to be a really good striker that you'd make a good amount of money on.
Yeah, and if he continues to bang in real life, he could quickly get a move and any type of attention, we know that probably there'll be researchers on it.
Yeah.
Even if it's not the next data update, it might be FM25 or whatever. But yeah, when you're looking at players only 17 now, not bad already, considering he's only just making a name for himself at first team level, IRL.
Let's be honest, we have quite a good trend at the moment of these kids doing quite well in the transfer windows and or,
yes,
you know, so yeah, big shout out to F Talent. For highlighting him and well done for your research now. Maddles, talking of research, Maddles, rumour has it, you're back on quiz duty, which means it's time for the shit quiz. It's time for the quiz. Sorry, the quiz.
Happy New Year, dude.
Great banter.
Glad it's going to be a fresh start. A fresh start for the lads, as always.
So the quiz this week is work out why my audio wasn't working.
Well, yeah, I still haven't worked that out, so I don't know the answer, so I wouldn't expect you. I've gone for a straightforward enough quiz. Seeing as it is New Year, it's our first pod of 2024. I just wanted to have a quick check how well you lads were paying attention in 2023. Oh, fucking and in a basic enough way, I'm not going to be looking for too much
detail.
We're
not even born, man.
I basically pulled a list of, and it's in euros, the top 10 transfers that happened in the calendar year. 2023.
Oh, right.
So I basically just want you lads to see if you can remember which players went for the biggest amounts. And what I'll do is I will give you obviously a point if you shout out a correct answer. I'll give you another point then if you can get, let's say, within 5 million of the euro amount.
In euros?
in Euros. Yeah, because some of these players obviously do not just only play. This isn't a Brexit podcast. if you notice, Curti left a long time ago.
So we gotta go. What are we saying? Top.
Yeah. Anyone?
So I've got the top 10 in front of me. So I would say just shout your name if you reckon you know one. Unless you.
Well, we'll just go back and forth, surely.
Yeah.
Let's go. Okay, let's do that. Dave, get started. Top transfer of 2023, please.
I'm gonna go with Enzo Fernandez to Chelsea.
Surprised me to go with him.
Enzo Fernandez, he looks like him, is correct. Can you give me a guesstimation on the amount?
In euros, Dave.
In euros, of course. In euros.
What were you using for the exchange rate, Matt? Because
it was a lot of money. I'm going to go 110.
Oh, can I put a bid in?
I can't.
It's going to be higher than that.
I can't give you the point.
131.
The answer I have on my list here with Transfer Market as a source is 121.
I was going to go 115, so I would have lost to you guys. So. Yeah, I'll take the point.
Oh, yeah, it would have been 6 out.
Point on the board. Dupe.
Give us your first Jude guess. Bellingham.
Jude Bellingham. Can I have an amount to go with that?
Yeah, 103 million euros, mate.
103 million euros is correct. Gets him the 2 points.
That's not helping my the fact that people think I cheat all the time.
Yeah,
103 million.
Goes back. It is correct. That's 2 points on the board for Dupe. Goes back over to Dave.
I'm gonna go with Mudrik to Chelsea.
Mykhailo Mudrik, do you have an amount for that?
So I think this was quite expensive as well. €90 million.
What I have on the list here is €70 million for Mykhailo Mudrik. Point on the board.
Thank you.
Back over to you, Dupe.
As Dave is going for Chelsea players, I'm going to go for Caicedo.
Shout.
Moise Caicedo. Give us an amount.
I don't know.
That was expensive as well.
Euros, isn't it? 110? Because it was over 100. 110?
That's tough.
I was going
to... can't give you the point because it's 116.
I was going to go 111 as well. You know, euros. I was going to go 111.
What's a million between friends, dude?
A fucking lot. Have you got some?
That is correct. So I'll give you a point for that. And I can tell you, lads, you have 3 of the top 4 most expensive on this list so far. Back over to you, Dave.
Oh, there's that one. Yeah, that's an easy one, Dave.
I'm struggling a little bit here. So Chelsea, the obvious one. Obvious ones that are doing.
I've still got one in my mind for Chelsea.
More to life than Chelsea, boys.
Yeah. Neymar.
Neymar, North Star. Can you give me an amount, Dave?
I want to say it was like 80 million, something like that.
The correct answer is 90 million euros, but it gets you a point.
I'm glad he's on the list. I didn't even know.
He's on the list.
Neymar because I thought it was just Premier League players.
You said Bellingham literally like 2 goes ago.
Yeah, he did.
Flipping heck.
I'm running on empty. Okay, I'm going to open it up then. And I'm going to go for Harry Kane.
Shout.
Harry Kane is a good shout, depending on how much we think he went for,
I know there's more expensive than the ones we spoke about. But I'm going to go for Neymar's price of 90 million.
I'm going to give you the point. It was 95 million euros.
Oh, on the edge.
Just on the five. Just on the edge. That is correct. 2 points on the board for Dupe. Back to you, David.
Going back to Chelsea again, I think. Nkunku.
Oh, good. That was my Chelsea one.
Christopher Nkunku is number 15 on my list. He's not in the top 10.
Oh.
60 million. 60 million euros.
Okay, 60 million. How
many have we got? We've all got...
Sorry, I'll reiterate. You, so far, had the most expensive one correct. Enzo Fernandez, 121.
Yeah.
Caicedo was third joint on 116. Bellingham.
Hang on. Did you say he was 103? He was joint?
Yes.
Okay. Can I make my guess, please?
That was me.
You can.
You just guessed.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Cuckoo.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for Declan Rice at 116.
That's correct. I'm going to give you 1.5 points for being lucky that I fucked up and gave you points.
No, that's fucking brain. That's brains, mate. You can't get me down on brains, mate.
I'm only kidding. Declan Rice is correct, 116 million. So that rounds off the top five for you, lads. It was Fernandez, Rice, Caicedo, Bellingham and Kane. And then, obviously, there's five more and Neymar was in there as well. And Mudrick, sorry. So.
Kai Havertz.
Technically four left. Kai Havertz. Dave, would you like to give me an amount for Kai Havertz?
And I'll go 70 mil again.
I'm going to give it to you. It's 75 million euros. 2 points. Big 2 points for Dave there as well. He is number 9 on the list.
Expensive players, isn't it?
So you basically now, let's have 3 players left.
Oh, what about young Rasmus Højlund?
Rasmus Højlund, moving, of course, to Man United.
Do
you want to give us a hazard a guess at the amount, Dupe?
I think he was the same as Hiver, so I'm going to go for 7. What did you go for, Dave?
70.
Yeah, I'm going to go for 70 million.
The amount I have on here is 73.9 million. Gets.
I didn't think he was in the top 10.
I didn't think.
I thought he was like 30. He must 40. Be 10. I thought he was like 40. He must be million. 10.
No, we spent a lot of money on that man. Yeah.
That was a lot of money, and hopefully he'll return it, but it's taking his time. 2 to go, lads.
I have 1, David.
What positions are they like on that top 10?
If you don't fucking out.
All right.
Hold his hand for him. I'm joking. I have a centre back on mine. I have a defender on my list. And I don't know. I don't know the other one.
So they're basically kind of like 6 and 7 on the list.
If you got centre half, I'm going to have the completely wrong idea then, I think.
Okay.
I'm going to go with...
I might have just thrown you off. That might have been just the tactic. I actually got a goalkeeper.
Vardiol.
Fuck! Fuck! Fuck!
is that who it was?
Gasco Gvardiol is on the list, Dave. But do you know the amount?
I'm going to be 83.
The number I have on here from his move to Manchester City is... 90 million euros.
Oh, just outside. Sure, 5 million. Do I need this to win?
Yeah, I think you'd win anyway, mate.
Can I tell you what I know?
7.
It's what?
I think I have 9-7 here. With
okay, so Dave could steal this and win.
He could level it.
Okay, and then we'll go to a tiebreaker.
Think of anyone.
The only one I can think of, and this might be me helping Dave out here, because I don't think I know the guy's name, but there was that chap that PSG bought, the striker, and he was expensive. Because he was more than Rasmus, so that means he has to be on the list.
Which one?
But I'm not sure
French.
I know his name.
This will help if he knows his name.
Not sure I know his name, so I think... It's fucking double. Oh, it's a fucking double barrel, though, isn't it? Oh, I can't see it.
Choupo-Moting.
I can see him. Man, I mean, baller. I could describe his face.
I don't mean that, sir. Double barreled?
I'm going to have to pass,
he's
man.
Not wrong.
I'm going to have to pass. I can't think what his name is. And I'm going to punch myself when I.
I genuinely don't know, but if I'm going by Duke's clues, he may be like leading me on it. Hugo Ekitike.
Look, it is not Hugo.
No, I was going to say. No. I can't.
So Dupe is on the right track. This player hang on, who did move to PSG.
Frankfurt, wasn't it?
Oh.
From Eintracht Frankfurt.
I know it is. I know it is.
Shall we give him one more clue?
It is double barrel Dupe. You're all right.
Isn't he the boy that that almost had that all-important World Cup final goal when he came on for France? And Martinez made that incredible
I can't. Oh, yes, it is.
I know his name now.
I just wanted to make it more excruciating for Dupe, but it's definitely worked.
I know his first part. I don't know the second part. I'm going to have to pass. And can I have half a point?
No. Yeah, but dude, I don't know. I haven't got a clue what the value is. It's Kolo Muani.
That's it. Kolo.
Randall Kolo Muani.
You got to get the amount, Dave. So, yes.
Yeah,
so just think about it, Dave. But he's more expensive than Garvidal, but he's less expensive than Kane. So he's in the middle there.
I can't remember. Think about what we said. When you said Kane's amount.
I've got the amount. I can tell you the amount. I can tell you the amount.
He's going to tie the quiz with you.
So if Dave can't guess.
92 million.
I was going to say 92.5 because I wanted to split the 95 and the 90 because that's what was around him.
The number I have.
So I think you're right.
Is 95 million euros.
Where's the tie break? Quick, because I want to go to bed.
Right. I think we just take a draw.
No. It's not Sweden now.
Okay, so look. Seeing as I have the list in front of me, you've got the top 10, and then the bottom of that list was Mudrik on 70 million. And because it's alphabetical, there is one other player on 70 million. That player currently is playing in the Premier League. So this is the tiebreak, so you can just shout the answer if you get it.
Can we have multiple this guesses? Player,
yes.
Mount.
Incorrect. Mount is the one after.
Tonali.
Incorrect. He's the one after.
Doku.
No, not
incorrect. Bit further down. This player is a midfielder.
Szoboszlai. I said that so quick. Is that how you pronounce it? Szoboszlai. Hungarian.
Dominik Szoboszlai is the correct answer. Moving to Liverpool for 70 million euros.
GG's.
It's just the first time I cheered a Liverpool fan player.
I mean, he deserved it for the effort because
he gave me two tap-ins to be fair as well.
Mate, I just can't think of the fucking. I couldn't think of his name, and then Garvidal as well. Like when you said that, because I gutted.
I was going to say Kim Min Jai, but then I thought, he wouldn't have been 50, that much.
I think he was like 55.
He was about 50 million. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't have him on the list, but I didn't go down there.
Yeah. The one was me. I was trying to work out. What Onana was. And then the other one was the other PSG one, Ugarte from Sporting.
I couldn't remember that much.
And I think it was
60 million. I can't see him, but it was still
quite a lot. And then the one, Nunes, the chap that City bought from you lot.
Oh, Mateus. That was about 50.
Mateus, yeah. So, and then obviously, then the only other one. Was Lavia? He was quite expensive as well, wasn't he, for Chelsea?
62. Yeah.
Also, they're 62 million euros. Correct.
So yeah, like
you got my list open, dude.
Because I would have won that. He's a piss, mate.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean that's
well done, dude.
Yeah, I mean great quiz, second attempt. So good, well done. But that gentlemen, Matt, do you want to do? If I'm going to pause at the episode, and you can see the numbers. That brings episode
333
to a close. It's not racist because Matt did it. You can find the links for each of us in the podcast description, along with a link to Matt's inverted fullback byline piece. And of course, you can check out 5starpotential.com where you can find all of our latest football manager content. 5-Star Potential is available on iTunes, Spotify, most other popular podcast apps and platforms, and on YouTube. With a new podcast released every single week, most weeks on Monday. But this week, we were late and we are very sorry. Thank you all for listening. There'll be more from us in a few days. See you all soon. Say goodbye, folks.
Bye, folks.
Happy New Year.
Guten Tagen.